Warning.
Warning.
Now for a word of caution.
It's time to step into the danger zone with your host, the danger himself, Chris Danker.
Chris Danker.
You heard the man. It's time to step into the danger zone, folks. Welcome back once again. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you downloading and or streaming and or however the hell you listen to these episodes. 12 deep now. Got a big dirty dozen under the belt. Today's episode is really cool. I sit down with a friend of mine, AEW's Hollywood hunk, Ryan Nemeth. We discuss a lot of different things. The movie Heel that he worked on and put a lot of time and effort into, of course, his time with AEW so far, how all that's gone. And, you know, I had to talk to him about being the one and only person ever to train Chris Danger, because that's an accomplishment that, you know, is not doesn't come around every day, of course. But we're a couple days removed from the old giving of thanks. I hope everybody that that celebrates the holiday had a good one. We had some family in town and, you know, ate and did the whole schlabiel. Yeah. This is the place to confess stuff like this. So I feel like this is just where I should do it. I'm kind of over Thanksgiving. And I know that's kind of crappy to say because of like what it's supposed to represent or whatever. But y'all really base a whole day around like the worst meat ever. Like it's a whole day just based around turkey. You couldn't have had it based around anything else. Something about the turkey and the thing. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Okay, it's another one of these. I don't know. Can we make a holiday around like steak? Steak giving or like just something along those lines. Cause I'm just starting to get tired of the turkey and the things and the stuff. Like I could have that any day I want. All right. I'm sorry. I'm over it. I'm done. I ran over. No, you know what? I'm not done. Look, cause fuck turkey. I need to talk about this. The turkey that I had the other day was really good. Like it was prepared. It was great. It was really good turkey, but great turkey is still not even close to like okay chicken or mediocre steak. I'll take a mediocre steak over a great turkey any day of the week. Is that just me? Am I alone on an island with this? I feel like I can't be, and I need responses. I need to know if you are team turkey or not. Because from my perspective, respectfully, team turkey can suck my ass. That's just where I'm at with it. That's neither here nor there, though. When Halloween ended, it was Christmas time. Period. The end. The decorations is going up. All that stuff is happening. That's what really matters to me around this time. Okay? These next couple weeks, Christmas. That's it. I don't want to hear about nothing else. I want to hear about Christmas. I want to hear about what Christmas movies are on TV. I want to see everybody's lights and stuff blinking up when I look at other people's houses. Hanukkah too. Whatever you celebrate. All of it. Light it up. Okay, let me steer this sinking ship back on course here. We are less than 2 weeks out from a very big night. DPW Fire's first tapings out in Jacksonville, North Carolina. If you guys missed that announcement, Chris Danger will be there live in person with an announcement. He's not coming alone. He's got some stuff to say. So I believe there are still a few tickets left. I think it's pretty much almost sold out. So, you know, dpwtix.com, T-I-X. If you want to come out and see the show and support the boys and support the E-Fed that is DPW. No, it's not an E-Fed. It's not an E-Fed. What else? Patreon, man. Thank you guys so much for the support over there. Continuing to grow all the time. All the content, the video versions, of course, of the podcast are up there. The dark match from this week with Ryan Nemeth is really cool. We watched an old, old, old segment of his. Jim Cornette is involved in it. It's a pretty awesome little piece of history. So patreon.com/Chris Danker to sign up for that. All that stuff just helps, you know, support the podcast directly. And I greatly, greatly appreciate all the support. so far. Other than that, in my life, I want to set up a charity stream for this upcoming month. It's going to be tough because I'm doing a lot of traveling in December. We might actually have to do it in January, maybe like a early kickstart the new year type of charity thing. But it's something I like to do every year, and it's definitely not something I want to, you know, skip over or forget about, because those are very important to me, and those are always a fantastic time. But aside from that, I'm focused on, you know, improving a lot of things about myself, mentally, physically, spiritually, as, you know, I don't know, man, that sounds lame. I don't know. You know, I'm trying to get back on a good mindset again. Not that it's been bad or not that it's been off. I'm grateful to say that I've been feeling pretty damn great lately, and, you know, I feel good and mostly focused, and, you know, I feel like I have a good direction in front of me, and I hate saying shit like this because, like, it's, you know, teasing announcements, like, that shit can be lame sometimes, but man, I can't wait for some of this shit that's about to happen to actually happen, because just some of the plans that I have and some of the plans that I have with some friends of mine, and, you know, all of our ventures that we got going on, there's a lot of really, really cool things. 2022, man, is going to be insane for a lot of reasons. I really believe that for a lot of different reasons. I think anybody that's been following me for any significant period of time, if you've maybe known me for a few years, you know, and you've seen the ups and the downs and all that stuff, man, when you see what we're coming out with in 2022, I feel like it's going to be a banner year over in these parts. And none of it, I say this all the time, I'm going to keep saying it, I don't care. None of it is possible without you guys. None of it is possible without your support. So I am eternally grateful for all of that. Thank you guys so much. I love y'all. And, you know, I don't exist. The Danger Zone doesn't exist. None of it without each and every one of y'all. So love y'all. But I'm going to stop being sappy now. Bitch. And I'm going to bring out my guests for today, AEW's Ryan Nemeth, member of the Wingmen. Man, this is such a cool dude, such a cool conversation. It's really hard not to like this guy. I really can't see how anybody would. So I hope you guys enjoy the conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it is time for Ryan Nemeth, the Hollywood hunk, to step into the Danger Zone. Folks, today I've got with me, writer, actor, comedian, professional wrestler, and just generally all around hunk of a man, and that is the Hollywood hunk, Ryan Nemeth, on the show. What's up, man? I appreciate you finally coming on, dude.
Thank you for having me. What a great introduction. And then I don't know if you told everyone, we recently discovered that you are officially a hunk.
I'm gonna tweet that tweet out to everybody now that you said that. I have been. It's kind of like being, you know, crowned by or not crowned, like knighted. When a hunk tells you are a hunky, it's the same concept.
It's something that you've probably known your whole life, kind of like, but you can never have it, like, it has to be actually confirmed. Yeah. So you've been
true. Yeah. So that confirmation did wonders for my confidence, honestly.
Excellent.
I've just been mean to everybody since that. I've been like, oh, I'm a hunky, so you can't tell me. No.
That's not what it's all about.
You know, okay, I'm sorry.
It can be taken away just as easily.
I'm sorry. I'll be good. No, I'm sorry. I left out a big notch on your belt, of course, during your introduction, because, of course, you are the official trainer of one Chris Danger. Like, official.
That's right, yeah.
Credited from now on till the day he retires. On his Wikipedia page, it's going to say trained by Ryan Nemeth. How do you feel about that accomplishment?
It's exciting. As long as you know, things go well. And if they don't, I will deny it at all costs.
I mean, no, it's going on Wikipedia. So even if you deny it, it's on Wikipedia. So it's true.
Well, if I pay that $249 or whatever they ask for the donation, I can, like, go there and edit it.
You know? Is that what they do for editing? You got to, like, donate. They give you editing privileges.
I think you can edit no matter what, but, like, usually they get erased. But I bet if I start donating.
Whatever. You probably have more wiki clout than me anyway, so whatever. I'll leave that alone. So
Wikipedia does me no favors, man. They say...
Are they lying about you?
They're not lying, but they say, Ryan Nemeth, most known for his experience in NXT. No, I'm not. Like, absolutely, I'm not most known for that. Like, that's
depending on who you ask, maybe, I guess, sure.
I guess if you ask someone from the year 2011 who was living in Full Sail University, like, yes, then I'm most known. But I got to come on, man.
You have had a lot of notable things happen since then. Yeah. On these episodes, too, like, I like to start with, especially the people I know in real life, like, I like to start with, like, how we met and everything. And our first meeting in real life had a lot of layers to it because it was my birthday. Happy birthday. Michelle, who you know, obviously, and Austin Creed decided to surprise me with a day of wrestling training. Because that's a birthday gift.
You know, and since then, that has come up a few times in my life. I've done this for a few other people, but you were the pioneer of that. Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate that. But guess who was ready, standing right there to kick my ass? Of course, none other than Ryan Nemeth. So why would you do that?
She asked.
Why did you agree to that? And what was, how was, like, how did you end up there, part of that
Xavier
nonsense?
Woods, Austin Creed texted me and said, hey, my friend is, he said, I have this secret surprise thing set up. Would you be interested in training and beating up Chris to whatever day that was? And I said, this sounds awesome. Hey, and a really nice thing about Xavier Woods, I'll say, when I had my tryout at FCW, which became NXT, there's so much going through your mind. You're kind of panicking stuff. We all went out to lunch one day and I forgot my wallet and I just felt just a bad feeling, especially with everyone I aspire to work with, but I'm the new idiot.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey man, I don't have any money on me. I feel stupid. And he goes, I'll buy your sandwich. So he bought me a submarine sandwich. And then I said, well, I owe you $6 or whatever. And he said, it all comes around, man. Don't worry. And I thought that was, it's true. What a nice guy.
That's a very Austin Creed story. He's definitely the type of guy that would give the shirt off his back for somebody if they wanted. So that's,
gave me a sandwich. So so when he said, you want to train Chris Danger to wrestle for a day, I would just thought this is going to be so fun. And I think it really was fun.
It absolutely was. I've said a couple times, like just being in there, just messing around with you, like, was insanely fun because you were not only just like cool about the whole thing, but you were so open about giving me this like sacred knowledge for like this, just this random dude coming in. And I left there with knowing so much because we squeezed like 3 weeks of training probably into one day. Yeah, I don't know how far you go into training to before you start doing specific things. But I said it hurt like a son of a bitch, but it also kind of created like an itch for me a little bit to like get in there and do it again. Is that usually how it goes? Is that how it was for you when like you hit that mat the first time and then you're like, I want to do that again for some reason?
Man, let me think about this. So my formal training didn't start until I moved to OVW, Louisville, Kentucky. But I started doing secret little training with my brother in an indie ring in Cleveland. Like late night, we would go to this building in Cleveland that was, it had like ghost stories from Prohibition days. Like there was bullet holes in the wall from the whatever decade that would have been.
Yeah.
And we would go late at night when no one, I just got the key from my buddy and I would go open, unlock it, turn the lights on. And it was this giant like 60-foot hallway until you got to the light switch. It was really scary. And I would go there sometimes by myself to hit the ropes and I would like pause and think, did I just hear something? And then I would hear like staircase walking. I'm like, all right, play it cool. Let's just slowly get out of here. Like, and I would just be, you have to hit the light switch and then just sprint until you got to the door. But I did love everything about being in a ring. Yeah. Probably the same way you felt. If you're any kind of performer, you like to have people look at you. You like to like show off a little bit and you're athletic, which I know that you are. So those things combined really, it like hits these three lights in your body. It just like gives you that good feeling of like, yeah, dude, something about this is what I need right now. Yeah.
And it's really weird because you would think your body would be like, hey, stop. don't do that again. And then you're like, no, I'm just gonna do it a couple more times. And
I think
your
it is
like, staying, no.
I think there is, because after the first day of formal training I probably ever had, I had the worst 3-day long migraine just from the bam, bam, bam.
Mm-hmm.
And So your body is saying, please stop, this is dangerous. But the part of your brain, well, I don't know, it's the dopamine or whatever, it's just like, yeah, no, override, like, that. We love this. Do this for 30 more years.
You're going to shut up. When does training, like, I guess this might be a weird question. When does it end for a wrestler? Like, you obviously have to continue to work on your craft to stay, you know, fresh and good at what you do. But at what point do you say, like, okay, I'm ready?
I think it's different for everybody. And for me, it ended before I was ready. Like, I, in OVW, Jim Cornette put me on TV, some would say years before I was ready, you know? And I was put in matches a lot in front of crowds, not on TV, way before I should have been. But so that's why I say it's different for everybody. And you'll look at people who are on Raw and Dynamite, and like, there will be a very, you know, credible voice that will say that person is not ready to be a wrestler yet. But at the same time, who is deciding, right? The person deciding said they are. So they are. Sure. So I guess they are.
Yeah.
Jim Cornette would see me every day at training and say, I mean, I can't do the voice right now. I have a little raspy voice, but you just scream everything, you know, something like, Ryan Nemeth or Young Nemeth, when are you ready? When can I use you on TV? Because he just saw a handsome muscle guy, you know?
Yeah.
I said, well, I don't know. And he said, well, who does know? Who is in charge of you? And I would just point to my trainer and go, he's in charge? Mm. And so he would say, when can I put him on TV? And the guy just goes, I don't know, maybe in like 2 weeks. And then 2 weeks later, I'm just booked in a match. And I'm just like terrified because...
Yeah.
My mind and body, I have a very rational brain, you know, and I thought, I personally don't think I should be on TV right now, you know, even on regional OVW TV.
Sure.
But that's the thing about wrestling is ready isn't really a thing. The boss says you're working today. Okay, cool. So
I think it goes back to like you said, being a performer. Someone's like, are you really going to say no to that? Like, now all of a sudden you might not be 100% where you want to be in your head. But if someone says, hey, that light's about to turn on, you're about to be on TV, I definitely, the performer in you says, okay, I'm taking over and I'm ready. I'm ready.
That's precisely right. It's like all the training I had doing improv comedy my whole life before that. The idea was, I remember this phrase, fall down and find out why you're falling on the way down. So like, just do it, just go for it.
Mm.
Learn as you go. If you don't know everything, this is a great way to learn, you know. you can't ask.
What was more nerve-wracking for you, that like your first wrestling match or your first stand-up routine, first stand-up set in front of people?
It's so hard to compare those. Probably wrestling, because in doing live comedy, the worst that could happen is people aren't laughing, you know. I guess the worst that could happen is people are booing you, probably. Mm. But in wrestling, the worst that can happen is you could die, you know?
Okay. Fair.
I hate to make light of that, but really, it's very physical and dangerous. And you could blow it and really, you know, die,
really get
massively injured or whatever. So probably the wrestling.
Mm, okay. That makes a lot more sense when you say it that way. I don't know if anyone's that died doing a stand-up routine. There are like a lot of, I don't want to say a lot, but there are a few parallels, I guess, between stand-up comedy and wrestling. You know, if people don't like you, they're right there to let you know in your face. If they do like you, they're right there in your face. Like, have you ever had a shitty stand-up experience? Not even necessarily like either got booed or whatever, just like, okay, this is not going well.
It's very interesting, the same way that many things in a wrestling show are out of your hands. Like, a ring announcer plays a major role, and I think Justin Roberts and Dasha are amazing ring announcers, and they understand that they are a crucial part. This is something fans might not know. They fans might think two people are fighting and I'm the star because I'm cheering or booing, whatever.
Yeah.
The ring announcers, the referees, there are so many people, commentators, who play a role in crafting the show and building this thing that gets broadcast around the world. Yeah. It's not just two wrestlers, you know? So... Yeah. The same goes for comedy shows. If the MC of the night or the host of the night is not terrific or nervous or thinks the show is all about him, the way that they bring you on stage can already be telling the fans, don't care about this that much. This is kind of dumb. Like, and that's just, you're already in a pit and you have to dig yourself out of that right away. Mm. Yeah, it sucks. So when that happens, that sucks. Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe I'm going to tell the story. That reminded me of a story. Oh, no. This, I've only told this a very, very few times, so you know, I think you're aware of the music group I was in a while back.
I am. That's why I said you're so athletic. I know. Yeah.
So, for anyone that's not aware, the music group, it was me and the other three members. I was the only white guy in the group. It was me and the other three. What the hell are these?
I'm trying to imagine, like, your movie you're doing.
So we go to do this show in, I don't know, it's a park somewhere in Philly or something. And we go up to get introduced, and our manager goes up and tells the guy how to introduce us. And the guy goes up and introduces us, and he goes, "Coming up next to stage, the..." And he forgot what we were called, so he looks at us and he goes, "The Oreo Boys."
No, oh my God.
And everybody hated it. No, like, because that, like, no one thought that was funny. No, so no, they immediately, they thought that we were, like, trying to make that joke. So they're like, "Boo, you guys, that's stuff." And we were like, "No, we didn't say that. That's not what we said." So that is getting misintroduced is probably almost as bad as, like, just bombing yourself.
It sucks so much.
It creates such a pit that, like you said, you need to crawl out of.
And the person doing it, they're only doing it because they're unaware of their... So, I mean, not to be a very mean person here, but that's why that person is a host, because they don't have the brain to be the main performer, probably. I'm really generalizing here, but...
No, it makes a lot of sense, because it's like to him, he's just, "Oh, I'm hosting the show, whatever, kind of, whatever I do doesn't matter," but then he, like...
What they're doing matters so much.
Yeah.
And they not only don't realize what they did was bad, they think they're doing awesome because, like, I'm cool, right? No, it's not about you. It's about you are just like sometimes in a wrestling match, it's not about me. It's about the point is I'm furthering a story with my opponent right now. Cool. Yeah. I'm not going to dominate the attention in this match. That is just a role you're playing at that moment. So,
yeah.
Even when I've not been the one being introduced, I see if I'm in the back and I see a comic being brought up and I hear the host just feel like they're kind of like floundering in water and they're trying to like come up with funny. Like I've seen the comic next to me go, "What is he saying? Why is he doing it? Dude, just introduce me. Please stop." And then the person goes out and the crowd hates them because it's so shitty. Yeah.
It's an uphill battle now. Yeah. It's tough. Yeah. It's definitely tough. Well, okay. So that's, Let's recap a little bit. That's wrestling. Mm-hmm. That's stand-up. I also mentioned at the beginning of the show that you are a writer and you wrote and starred in a film that's set within the wrestling world around some very real but very important subjects. Mm-hmm. I've known you for a little bit now and I've seen how much of your time has been dedicated to Heel, which is the name of the movie for anyone.
Hey, this is it's backwards probably in the camera, but Ruby...
No, it's on a...
Oh, yeah. Sweet. Ruby Soho painted this. Ruby Soho, major producer of the film Heel, helped out a lot.
That's amazing.
A nice gift, and I am so proud. This is me as Bart Simpson wearing a Heel shirt.
That's so sick. That's so sick.
Thank you.
But like I said, I know you dedicated so much of your time to that. Why was that so important to you to get that out into the world?
Was crucial for me to get out there because it's also the reason I kind of backed out of wrestling for a while. I got really grossed out with the enabling and turning the other way and et cetera, of sexual harassment and abuse and assault in indie wrestling. And at the time, I was not with a major company. And I just started to hear all these similar stories from people who don't even know each other and some not even involved in wrestling about mainly one person, in my opinion, just ruining pro wrestling, man. And I went through like my options for a while. I thought, well, I'm not wrestling for a while because I feel like all these promoters are just cool with this. And I cannot be cool with this.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be connected to it. And I feel disgusting even being aware of, and I knew like this much of what was really going down. Later I would learn much more. So I thought, what are my options here? I can't like go publicly say, "Hey everyone, here's what I secretly know." You can't. Okay. You can't. So for everyone who tweets me that every day when I post about my movie, you can't do that, dude, for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
Legally, you can't. Two, you're betraying people who have trusted you.
People's trust is huge. Yeah.
Yep. And then three, it's not my story to tell. Four, I can go on and on, but who could then the people you're referring to go, actually, that's not true. That never happened. And then what? I'm just some giant liar, you know? Mm-hmm. So I thought, what can I do is write something you know, and see if anything comes of it. And I wrote this script for Heal. The first draft of Heal, I think, was like 32 pages long, way too long. But I showed it to my director friend, Maggie Levin, who said, hey, let's meet. So like, we met in person when you could do that a couple years ago. And she said,
remember that? Remember those days?
And she said, I love this script. And I'm not doing any short films anymore. My life is now feature films for studios and stuff. But I want this to be my last short film. Can I direct this? And I was like, whoa, this is the best possible outcome of, hey, let's meet, you know, ever.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Someone saying, can I direct your movie? So I said, yeah. So I crowdfunded it in 30 days, raised a gigantic budget. Thank you, everyone who helped with that. Thank you for helping with that. And shot this movie and cut it down cut the script down a lot and started. Hopefully the goal was to start a conversation about sexual assault and indie wrestling. Okay. So that was very not talked about. And I was prepared that this was going to get me blacklisted from wrestling forever, because I was sure that this was going to fall on deaf ears or just have me being a guy making up shit, you know?
Sure.
Then the pandemic happened, and during post-production, while we were editing it, during the editing process, the speaking out thing started happening. That was like July or June or whatever. And people started talking about literally the thing I was making this movie about. And fans were kind of being like, whoa, we didn't know this was happening. Oh my God, this is terrible. Then I started to think, number one, awesome. That's great. This should all be out there and explode.
Yeah.
But also, this will maybe be well received by the wrestling world versus ruining my career. it sucks that any of it is true, but I'm glad that speaking out happened, and I did not get blacklisted from wrestling, as it turns out. And the film has went on to screen at so many festivals and win so many awards and be really well received for the most part. And wait, I forgot what question I'm answering. What did you ask me?
No, it's just, why was it so important for you to make it? All of that's great. I just wanted to know, like, I want to know the story behind it, you know?
I hope you asked something about this movie. Otherwise, I'm So it was important to me because I felt the same thing I felt for a few years now, which is I don't want to be involved in wrestling unless I'm contributing to wrestling and the world in some way that helps, versus I'm just doing this as a job and getting paid.
Yeah.
Because I could do anything for a job and get paid. You know, who cares? Sure. Absolutely. That's why this movie was so important to me. I wanted to, and I got to say, to credit AEW and Tony Khan and everybody there, they have been so massively supportive of this. And to Tony even saying like, hey, if you want to go to film festivals and take some of our camera crew and do interviews, like, we'll post them, like, let us know. Like, and they always retweet all the fests we're in and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I get unheard of anywhere else in my life.
Yeah.
And anywhere else I've worked at. So great. Very, very great company. Very supportive. And thanks to all of them for helping out, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, I've told you before, like, I'm really proud of you just for having like the balls to do that, and then for getting everything together, and like, that's a long, arduous process. It's not an easy, it's not an easy task to undertake. And not just doing it in general, and then thinking about, you know, the subject material that you're covering, and making sure, you know, you're doing it carefully and respectfully for like, it's a lot of avenues that you had to probably weave in and out of.
Yeah, I'll also say one other bizarre avenue is like the very few percentage of people who will attack me online and say, oh, you use the speaking out movement to make a profit or whatever. There's just logically reasons that doesn't make sense. Number one, I started making the movie several years before the speaking out movement happened.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Secondly, there's no profit. I've lost so much money on this movie. Short films do not make profits, bro. Like, I spent most of my own money on this, and you have to pay to submit the festival. Like, no one is giving you a check when you win an award.
I don't think people. I don't think people understand that. They say, "Oh, it's a movie. It's in festivals. You're rich now. You're making so much money off of this this movie."
But no,
how dare you?
Even if we, ideally, I want this to be streaming somewhere where more and more people can watch it. I still will not make money from that. So at no point ever is there like there's no math equation in the world that equals short film equals money. You don't.
Sure.
Like, you lose money. That's it.
Yeah.
But important.
Absolutely. So on top of that, you've also written, I looked this up, actually did a little research. You've written 6 books, if I'm not mistaken.
Whoa, that is news to me. How, so what are they? I mean, I know a few of these.
Shit.
it might be true. I should have
kept the list up. Oh, wait, do I still have the list up? Damn. Oh, I think I took. All right,
I can tell you the ones I know. I wrote while I was in grad school. I wrote "I Can Make Out with Any Girl Here." That was like a funny, short, little college-based novel.
Uh huh.
Real proud of that one. Love that one. I wrote a fitness compendium, basically using tips and tricks from Rob McIntyre, my old trainer at NXT, and a bunch of my wrestler and bodybuilder friends.
Hard body, right? I have an autograph copy. I received my autograph copy the day we met, actually.
And then I would do like, I think there was one I wrote that was just available only digitally. It was kind of a goof. I wrote while I had a broken leg in NXT. I forgot the name. Life? Something about life?
I found it.
All right, so give me the list. Yeah.
Okay, so we got hard body. We got I Can Make Out with Any Girl Here.
Yep.
We got Damn, Why Did I Write This Book?
Oh, I helped edit that book. That's JTG's book. So a few of those I just helped edit.
Okay, you also have editing credit on Damn, Why Did I Write This Book Too?
JTG.
Okay, so I understand. Okay, so some of these are editing credits. Okay, yeah. that's my apologies. That's on me. But still, that's still 1, 2, 3 written books, all published books, all by yourself. That's nuts.
And one was published by Yellow Snow Press. I think that's such a funny I Can Make Out with Any Girl Here. So I looked at Yellow Snow Press, which is such a funny name. I also edited Justin Roberts' autobiography. I hope that's on that list. Great book. Check it out.
You edited a Justin Roberts autobiography. That's not on this list.
Well, damn it.
I see there's four different versions of Damn, Why Did I Write This Book?
And he had a book about getting bigger. JTG wrote a workout book. I helped edit too. Maybe that's on there.
That's not on here either.
Oh, well. See,
they got to update this song. This is on Goodreads.
A lot of my wrestling friends asked me to edit things. I have a master's degree in English, so I do.
Oh, shit. So you just decided to just save zero talent for anybody else, and you just decided to keep it all for yourself, huh? You were just like, I'm going to write, and I'm going to direct, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to wrestle, and I'm going to, like,
well,
all right.
I think you understand it more than anyone because your performance and your desire to have fun and make content. Like, my life is just about I like to entertain people, so
yeah.
that fills many different categories.
I hear that's probably the most I've leveled with anybody I've had on this show so far. Is that's I feel the same. I just want to entertain people, so like whatever that avenue happens to be, it is what it is. I do want to talk about AEW obviously for a minute because it's sure. It's definitely, from my perspective, rejuvenated like my personal enjoyment of wrestling as of late quite a bit.
Me too.
You've been involved, obviously, a little bit over there as part of the Wingmen. How has that whole experience been for you so far since you started there?
It's been awesome. I typed this out for Wingmen. There's a magazine called Wingmen Magazine. I did an interview for them recently.
That's sick.
And they asked a similar question. I was typing the answers, because it's one of those interviews. And I thought it was a really great way to put it. I'll try to paraphrase it. I will say it's not a perfect company. They're up and, they're new, they're growing, but it is the most, it's the happiest, the most creatively fulfilled and encouraged I've ever felt in the context of pro wrestling ever, bar none, in any case ever. So amazing company, amazing leadership, peers, the fan base. Tony Khan rules, man. Sorry.
He's the man. He seems like I've only, gotten to meet him in passing, but his energy is...
He's awesome. Cody is a great leader for people there. The Young Bucks are so amazing in ring and behind the scenes. Very, very much in support of, things that matter as far as... I'm thinking about stuff like the issues in Heel. Like, it's nice to have people behind that. And Kenny is a great mentor for wrestlers there. Like, it's just... The leadership there's huge. It's awesome, man. We got Amanda Huber on board now, running the charity department. So it's awesome.
That's so cool. That's so cool, man. Like you guys have done such a great job of not only like collecting a lot of people who are of the same mindset of just like, hey, we want to have fun and make a sick ass wrestling show and put on a show for the fans. And anybody that I've spoken to who has been part of the company has literally said almost verbatim the same thing, that they're so supportive and everybody's it's a positive environment. There's no toxicity, and everybody just feels like they have the freedom to be themselves, and that's not something you find a lot in this line of work.
For a company to allow me in writing to say, yes, we encourage you to do acting and filmmaking projects, and you, and in writing, you will not be punished for it. I just felt like this is amazing.
Yeah.
It's kind of ballsy to ask for, but for them to just go, yeah, of course. Yeah. Like not even a second thought, for sure. You're the Hollywood hunk. You should be acting in things still. Mm. We're not going to stop that. And then to hear like the vetting process of like, how did I, because I'm curious, like who really approved me to start working with AEW? Mm. And then to hear like the totem pole of people who gave the thumbs up and yes, it's some surprises in there too, of like people who are rooting for you. Then you start to feel like, whoa, it's not just a database where someone randomly checked yes and you work here. It's like people literally have discussions and go, do we want this person representing us? Hell yes, definitely. You know, it feels good. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some of your, I would love to know, and I'm sure a lot of people would love to know listening, what some of your personal goals for yourself are? Because obviously you're involved in so many different things. You juggle so many different things. What's your, let's say, what's your end game, so to speak, with all that? Because you have, I guess, had so many things going on.
Wow, man, that's huge. Okay, so I want to, it's hard to, okay, because AEW is so new, it's hard for me right now to say what the end game is there because it's still kind of liquid and figuring out who the company itself is.
Sure.
So it's hard for me to say what an end game with AEW is, but I would like to be, like my role as a trusted talent and behind the scenes person to increase more and more and more and more. So whatever that means, I don't know what the end game of that is, but that's what I want with AEW. And outside of AEW, my end game is to continue acting and filmmaking. I guess the same thing for both, just to have them go more, 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 more.
Sure. Yeah. That's always the move. What about like personally in your personal life? Any like goals you're working towards? Things you're trying, like side projects
or feet taller.
Where do you figure that shit out? Let me know.
Yes, sure. Side projects. Man, you know, sometimes I feel overwhelmed with the things I take on, but I care a lot about the John Huber Legacy Foundation, so I wanted to help start, you know, raising money for that. So I've been selling prints of this portrait I did of him.
Yeah.
So that's been cool. Those kind of things feel great. So I think I'm sort of answering your question. I like doing things like that. Again, in the context of wrestling, that is helping something. Like that's giving me no profit. I'm giving the money to the Legacy Foundation for Amanda's thing. So those kind of things. I like to, things I'm good at, use that to help things. Oh, also I want, it's just like thinking about my fantasy house. I think, I think you commented maybe. I posted on Instagram, like my fantasy house is going to be like with, have an ocean view, have my own weight room that kind of looks like Hard Knock South, but is shark themed a little bit.
Hell and then
have a room dedicated to like, it's the Christmas room, you know, and like, and go
sure, hang out
with my dog. So I have like those kind of goals. That's not,
oh, hell yeah.
You know,
I think, like, when someone gets in your position, obviously they get on TV and they get notoriety and everything. It can turn into a situation where, you know, that person can change, or, you know, things happen. You go down different roads. Things happen to different people. I haven't known you for insanely long, but I will say for as long as I've known you, you've like just always been a straightforward dude. You've always seemed like you had your head on straight. You know, you believe in a lot of really important things, and you're trying to do a lot of really important things. And I have a lot of respect for you for that. And I'm glad to like call you a friend. And I think you're the man overall. And I wanted to give you your flowers today and make sure you,
Wow. Thanks, Chris Danger. Thanks a lot, man. That's really interesting.
All right.
Cause before I thought when you gave me a Stone Cold Stunner and pinned me in that ring all those years ago, I thought, man, this guy hates me. Hey, thanks,
so
man.
Wait,
that's
it was
great.
The stunner. Was that to finish the stunner? I thought maybe the super kick was the stunner. It might have been the stunner. Or I thought the super kick was the finish. It might have been the
stunner. It's hard to say because super kicks have no effect on me. I'm just kidding.
Especially mine. That throw 2.5 feet off the ground. All right. Let me stop being so nice. Before I let you go, I'd love to know what.
It's over? This ending already?
It's unfortunately, it almost is. I would love to do this all day long.
That's messed up.
I'd love to know, though, what the Hollywood hunketh does to keep his mental health in check. because we try to advocate as much as we can on this show for, you know, people to take care of that shit, especially men. So you know, someone like you who is a, you know, who's a manly man, what's your experience been with it? If you're, you know, whatever you're comfortable speaking about, of course.
Sure. I'll give you a vague secret thing. So
please.
For my own mental health, I do meditation and I do reading and stuff. But I was very struck by a few months ago, as many in the wrestling world were, by these tragic events of Daphne, man. It sucks. So a day later, decided to do this project. So this is something else I'm doing behind the scenes in AEW. I wanted to get rid of the idea of if you care about your mental health, you're a sissy or a wuss, or it's not a manly thing to do.
The stigma,
you know?
Yeah, we got to crush that.
So I, with the blessing of AEW, they sent out this email to the roster and said, if anyone wants to speak about their ways of dealing with this, you know, get a hold of Ryan. So I put together this thing of some of the more masculine or hard ass kind of manly guys on the roster, and a few of the women also, to speak, you know, about their personal ways of whether it's medication, counseling, therapy, whatever. And my goal with that was to show younger members on the roster or whoever else might benefit from it, hey, I shouldn't think about it as caring about my brain as a sissy thing to do. Like, this guy who I think, or this woman who I think of as this badass performer, is very open about saying, you know, I'm vulnerable, I have weaknesses, and this helps me, so maybe it'll help you too. So Mega, our crisis counselor and attorney, has been like so helpful in giving me like data and info, and I put together this like video package just for the roster. It's not for a public thing. It's not for me trying to get likes and whatever. Like,
yeah, sure.
That's fine if people do that. But like, my goal was like, literally, I want to help one or two people in this company. I don't care about having a Twitter viral video. Like, great.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you can do that. That's cool. But I wanted to offer real testimonials and actual tangible means of support to people who may need it, who are in the insane business of pro wrestling. So, that is something I just wrapped up this week, sent it to them for their approval. So hopefully that will go out privately to the roster soon. But yeah, dude,
that's super cool.
I'm not a therapist. I'm not a crisis counselor.
Sure. Yeah.
But I'm a filmmaker and I'm good at producing things. So that's where I thought like, okay, what can I do here? I can call these things together and these people trust me enough to speak on camera, edit it, you know, produce it and give it.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll help someone.
That's so awesome, dude. Like, I know, like you said, that's something that's supposed to be for the roster only, but man, I would love to like see something like that. I know, like, it's probably important to keep something like that close to the chest, but maybe in the future, if you guys decide to do something, maybe specifically for the public, about mental health. I know hearing guys like you talk about shit like that, that would help so many people. So
maybe there's some version of that down the line, but you know, one brick at a time, I guess.
Absolutely. Is that the phrase? That's the,
I don't know why I said one brick at a time. I've never in my
that's
life.
How you lay the foundation. You got bricks to lay the foundation. Once the foundation is laid, that's when the
bricks are part of the foundation. I think you lay a concrete slab and you level things. I'm an idiot. Don't let's scrap
maybe,
that part, man.
Maybe.
That expression made
know.
No sense.
We don't build houses, people. We just we just talk and try to make people smile.
And so, thanks for everyone for letting me wear this. Happy holidays.
Oh, hell yeah. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas season. As soon as Halloween ended, it was Christmas season. Period.
Yeah,
the end.
Let's get this going.
So that's all there is to it. With that, I want you, if you could, to let the people know where can people find you? Where can they follow you, stalk you, message you?
Sure.
To you?
My address is you can find me on Instagram or Twitter at RyRyNemNem, which is just the most adorable name. You'll never forget it. It's spelled just how it sounds. RyRyNemNem.
It is. That's Instagram and Twitter.
We got Dynamite. We have Rampage. We have Dark Elevation. I'm sprinkled throughout those.
Yeah. So. You're everywhere. If you look for the name Ryan Nemeth, you can't miss him. It's the tall, handsome guy in the Santa hat.
You are. This gives me a few inches. Yeah,
it will. Yeah, actually, I should look into that too. Wrestling, as tall as you could be in wrestling. That's what I've heard. Is the that's the secret. That's the secret sauce. But thank you again for coming on, man. Like I said, I've been wanting to talk to you for a while. Thankfully, we got this going, and I wish you nothing but the absolute best. I know you're going to keep killing it well into, you know, next year, whatever, all these projects you got planned. I can't wait to see where they go, and I'm going to be first in line, ready to grab whatever you got coming out.
Well, listen, thanks for having me. Thanks to AEW for letting me do this. Thanks, Brandy and everyone, for signing off on Chris Danger grilling me.
Wait, one more time? One more? Wait, we're not running that back?
you grilled me out here, man. Ask me the hard
question. Oh, I grilled you. Oh. Yeah,
you put me under the hot light in the hot seat, sweating over here.
Damn, I'm sorry. I tried to throw you some softballs. I mean, we could talk about other stuff before. I don't know.
I've kissed 11 girls.
That's this week. And you're the man, and I appreciate you coming on, bro. So thank you so much. Everybody, go follow Ryan. Show him some love. And we will catch you on the next episode of Into the Danger Zone. Hollywood Honk out, baby. The honks.